Good morning, Mother Earth.
Hello.
Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I have a wonderful guest with me today named Patrick Pinson. But before I introduce him, I do want to send out a loving prayer to all those in Boston who have been hurt and traumatized by this week's events. And we just pray that the healing power of love and joy and peace flow into the hearts and minds of all those who have been affected, and resolve and dissolve all the anger and the pain and everything, so that people are able to move forward with their lives again in a good way. And we just send blessings of health and healing to you. Now, as I said, I have Patrick Pinson with me today. He is founder of Cedar Mountain Drums. He had been a gestalt therapist, a stockbroker, a fundraiser, and a play therapist. But after a profound vision quest experience, he realized that his true path was the path of the drum. He has published many articles on drumming as an alternative to healing mental, emotional addiction problems like drugs and alcohol. Through drumming, amazing things happen with people. And he's written a lot of articles on this, and he's also conducted drumming circles for large corporations such as Nike and the Design Institute, as well as going into prisons and doing drumming circles there and working with churches and rehabilitation centers. So he has some amazing wisdom to share with us today, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to Shaman's Keep. Patrick, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Caroline. It's wonderful to be here.
Good. How is everything at Cedar Mountain Drums today?
Well, you know, it's the weekend, and I have 20 acres about 50 miles up the Columbia Gorge from Portland, and I always sneak over there to get out of the city.
Is that your Bear Creek Heart Space?
That's the Heart Space place, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, I saw it on your beautiful website.
Yeah, as soon as we leave, that's where I'm heading. But we're training some new people here about the ways of our community. And so it's always a blessing to wake up and see that I'm still alive.
Oh, every day is a good day, isn't it?
So, it sure is.
Okay. I'm going to ask you how you got into drum making, because that was what you started doing at some point in time.
Yeah. That's interesting how, I guess, out of the depths of the pain of the soul, I was an alcoholic, and I had my last drink back in 1975.
My.
And when I hit bottom there and turned around, I had a lot of help from some friends to help me when I was at my lowest point. And so I started going to recovery meetings and building up some people that knew a little bit about doing something except getting high, about how to live life. And they kind of took me by the hand, took me on a spiritual path, and I started sweating with a bunch of Native people because my heritage is, my father's side was Native from West Virginia, and I didn't know anything about the traditions or the sweat or any of that stuff. But I knew that I wanted something different than what my father had. My values weren't quite aligned with what my family's was, and I didn't know what that was. So that was why I went on the hill at a certain point in my life and says, Creator, what am I down here to do? You know, what's my work? And there's a whole lot of preparation leading up to that ceremony in recovery. They have you make restitution and clean up the wreckage of your past and, you know, get ready to experience that prayer on the hill. And a lot of people have gone on the hill. They say Moses went on the hill to bring down the Ten Commandments. And the old medicine man that blessed my store used to say, Black Elk and all those people that bring down a vision of hope for the people take a long time to prepare for that ceremony, and that's called the big dreams for the people. And so my dream for myself is what is my work. And I always knew from recovery, they said, the Creator wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Didn't want us to suffer. And so I learned how to do a lot of things, but nothing quite resonated with my soul. But when I learned to make a drum with my hands, and these Native people taught me how to make it, I'm an obsessive compulsive personality, so I started making drums. And I was traveling at the time doing some consulting work, and I was just creating drums wherever I went. Went to the leather factory and bought rawhide. There was something about working with my hands, because I'd always worked with my head, you know, therapist and stockbroker. But it just led me on a path to find my heart. If I look at the big picture, it was getting out of my head and making that journey to my heart. And the drum was the way that has been my teacher to return home or to return to the wisdom that all of us have in our hearts.
Yes, I've noticed that if people that are needing to heal something in their lives, if they can begin to do something creative with their hands, it seems to draw in the life force energy to flowing in them and through them. And the healing happens a lot quicker and a lot easier for them. And in your case, the drum led you on a completely new path for your life, didn't it?
Well, it sure did. I was contemplating, you know, how can I wear one hat in life? I don't like going to work and then being a worker and then coming home, being a father. It just seemed like my life is so fragmented. And so I had a vision about how could I wear one hat and do everything I loved within the context of my home. So now I live where my work is. My store is down in my basement. And I do all the creation of the drums, and my apprentices are up here with me on the second floor. And then my 9-year-old daughter and my dear friend Nanny, her nanny, Mandy, live on the third floor. So we have family, community, work, and spirituality all one. So what a beautiful way to be, rather than separating business from spirituality.
Yes, how wonderful, because we tend to all categorize our lives, you know, where, like you were saying, work is one category and home is another category, and we have playtime, and although a lot of people don't even have playtime, which I was really excited when I read some of your writing and everything about play therapy, because in our culture we're so programmed to the work ethic that we've pretty much been taught that play is a waste of time. You need to focus and you need to be concentrating on your career and your job and getting ahead and all these things. Talk to us about play therapy.
Well, I like a lot of my teachers have been women, you know, books I've read by women, and I like Lynn Twist on the soul of money, and she says we got to break three spells that's been put on us. So that first spell is there's not enough, and the second spell is more is better, and the third spell is that's just the way it is. So anytime you buy into a poverty consciousness that there's not enough and you have to work harder and your reward is future, then people start losing hope. They say, well, I guess my reward sometime after retirement, but right now I have to work. And the more I work, the harder, the more hours they give me to work. And so I don't have time for my family. I don't have time for the things I love. And I'm completely out of balance because I bought into the myth. See, so we got to break free from that, the shackles of poverty consciousness, basically, that's fueled by there's not enough and artificial shortages that everybody put in. You got to act now.
Oh, yes.
And it's like this universe is so fast over here. It's like, and the space is the place of the heart. I say play is defined as having no agenda.
I love that.
Play is defined that way.
Mm-hmm.
That means if you fill it with some expectation, then it doesn't. It's not play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and so I learned from some beautiful people down there in California through this play therapy and taking 500 hours of training myself, because I was using it as a drug and alcohol counselor to teach people to play the 12 steps rather than to work the 12 steps. That we all want to be high. Hell, being high is wonderful. That's being spiritual, being close to spirit. It's such a beautiful place to be. And yet there's so many woundednesses about we're not supposed to be high. We're supposed to be down here where it's practical and get to work. And you have no value unless you're working. And we buy into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And until we can break free from that, I think we just get hopeless and just give up. And so I'm excited about the changes that are happening. I think the drum is leading the way because drum leads us back to our heart, and it helps us remember who we are and that Native people didn't have any word for work. You just did what you had to do to get through the winter and look around and see how hard what the animals were doing. And once you had enough to get through the winter, you're home free, you know.
Yeah. I like that. I think we need I work with a lot of people that their biggest problem, well, aside from some of the issues they're dealing with, but their biggest problem is not knowing how to let their little child out to play. They don't seem to remember. It's like they left all that in childhood and they don't seem to remember.
Go ahead. I was saying, my teacher used to have this great thing. He says, every day we get to vote to play or not to play. And he says, every time we vote not to play, atrophy wins by default. And he says, what is atrophy? If we don't use it, we lose it, you know, or it starts waning away. It's not that we ever lose that spirit. It's just that we don't think anybody cares about us unless we're doing something. That we have no value unless we're being productive. And I think it's time for us to come back and remember to connect with, we're infinite. We come from the light, you know, our essence is love. And to forget that is to get up in confusion in your head. So when people come in my store and they say, which drum's the best? I say, well, go over there and play them. One will speak to you, or it won't. But your mind's not going to know that. Your heart knows it. So people have lost touch with their heart, and the drum brings them back to that heartbeat. First thing we hear when we come from spirit into form is ba-boom, ba-boom.
Yeah.
So that's the mother's heartbeat, and then our heartbeat, and then two hearts beating as one. And that's it's a woman's thing. The drum is woman. The original drummers were women.
Really?
And, the native, the drum is the mother earth. Flute's more male. More is the flute's the father sky. It's the air. The drum's the earth. So when we drum, we're working with yin. We're working with the waters in the earth. We're working with... you feel grounded. You don't think grounded, okay?
Right.
So
Yeah, it's how we feel, not how we think. We have to get our mind out of the way and allow our hearts to open. So I was surprised. Yeah, go ahead.
What were you surprised about?
Oh, I was surprised when I had read your some of the things on your website, and you had said that the drum was feminine, and that was one of my questions I was going to ask you about, and you beat me to it. But it's wonderful to understand why you said that, that it's connected to Mother Earth, and
what's been coming to me more and more, you know. I guess we do go through passages as we get older, and I just turned 73, and you know, that's getting up there, and I realize that we all come from this pure essence. We're not male or female from this pure essence,
and right,
we might come down here as men or women, or but we, to reconnect with the pure essence of the all that is that we have to embrace our wholeness, that we're complete. I am Patrick, I say. I don't want to be an Indian or anything else. I just want to be who I am and honor who other people are. And I think when we find the path of our heart that resonates with us, the spirits will get right behind that and support us in ways that we never would imagine.
Yes. Oh, I know. It's amazing. And everything, you know, is about allowing things to happen instead of trying to make them happen and do everything with our mind, where we're trying to force life to be what we have decided it should be, instead of being able to be free and allow life to flow through us. And I can see drumming really, really helps that.
Some of the great teachers of the Native tradition, like old Frank Fool's Crow, he said, we become hollow bones. He said, when spirit's working through us, man, that feels good. So we got to clean up our own acts so that spirit can work through us. And the more you love, the more it comes back to you. So you got to hit the scales there from there's not enough love, there's not enough money, there's not enough time, all these illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem so real because everybody believes in you. Everybody's colluding in the same belief. And they all disappear like a house of magic, like the Wizard of Oz, when you wake up and say, wait a minute, there's no limit here. And I think the older you get, the more you see the oneness and the importance of giving back, you know, importance of learn loving or being the best Carolian you can be. Or in Kabbalah,
yes,
they say godding, or the term godding. How are you godding in the world? It's not that there's a god that we worship, but it's how the spirit's moving through us and through our hearts to others, to touch others. And so play is a great way because it gets us back with that original state that we come from, which is the child, which is the most holy. And the children are the ones with no clutter. They don't grieve because they play wholeheartedly. What's it like to play wholeheartedly? And when we start holding back and being afraid, then we betray our own hearts, and it hurts. And through abuse and things, we have to heal those, and we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other to do that. And thank goodness for people like you that are working in the solution.
Well, and like you, because the drumming circles and all the work that you've done to bring the drum to prominence so that more people understand it and accept it and to be able to go in prisons and everything. Tell me about your experiences with working with people in prison, doing drumming circles with them.
Well, it was my worst nightmare. This is the scariest thing I ever did. I tell you, this buddy of mine was counselor down there at the Oregon State Pen, and he said, you know, I'm in here in this prison trying to create sacred space, and I want your help. And I said, okay, I'll help you. And then I realized what I'd said, and I started wanting to backpedal, you know, because I knew that when you go into a prison, you don't con, see?
Mm-hmm.
So what was really concerning me was all that false part of me that I didn't believe and I thought was phony was coming up. And so I just went down there and just felt my feelings and said, well, I'm going to suit up and show up. And so I invited these prisoners to let all their anger and all their tension come out on these drums, because the drums, you know, like the earth longs for all that stuff to be released. And boy, they broke beaters. They whacked those drums. I had broken beater sticks.
Oh, my gosh.
But gradually, you know, all that anger started softening a little bit. And then they got into this amazing rhythm together. But they had to go through that chaos.
Yeah.
And after that experience, they all voted to hold that space because they'd never felt anything that sacred. If they had had the space to let go of all those toxins, all that anger, all that resentment, all those poisons that poison our soul, and if you just give people the opportunity to purge all those toxins, and we need each other to do that, to help with that work. Says you got to do it by yourself, and you can't do it alone.
That's right. I tell people it's an inside job. Nobody's going to fix you. You have to get in there and work through your issues, or deal with them, face them, and talk about them, and, you know, acknowledge them and let them go. So the drumming is wonderful for that. The drum is such a powerful instrument. I remember when I. Years ago, my first drum was one of your drums, and I had been looking for a drum, and people kept telling me that, oh, your drum will come to you. You'll find your drum. You won't go out and look for it and get it that way. It will come to you. But still, I was anxious. I wanted my drum, and I was going to stores all over the place and whatever town I was in and whatever workshop I'd gone to and all, and I pick up drums, and I tried them all, and none of them resonated with me. And then I heard that there was this art show in Boulder City, and I love art, so I went out to the art show one Sunday afternoon, and with no thought whatsoever about drums on my mind, I was looking at beautiful art. But as I'm wandering through the booths, there you were. You had a booth there, and it was so strange, because I walked in, and I walked straight over to this drum. And I picked it up and beat on it a little bit, and I thought, and I was thinking about it, and you said, that's buffalo hide. And something literally leaped in my chest, in my heart. And I was like, oh, to me it was like it was sacred because it was buffalo hide. And so I walked around the store, and I beat on all the other drums, and I was thinking, well, gee, there's nothing here either. And then I realized I was still holding the buffalo hide drum. I had not been able to put it down. and I knew, oh, my God, this is my drum, you know. It's amazing the power of the drum. And when you start working with it and all, and you breathe life into it with your breath, and it begins to sing when you beat it. And it took a while for mine to sing because I really didn't know what I needed to do. You know, it took me a while, but my drum sings now. So
the more you work with the sacred, you work with it, you don't own it. Or like I say, I'm the keeper of the drum. Those drums, when I make them, I have fun. I mean, I never make the same drum twice. I still haven't lost that curiosity of how this drum gonna. Never made this drum before. You know, that's the childlike wonder, is rather than saying, oh, I got some more orders, I got to make some more drums. It's like keeping the magic in it and looking at it as a prayer. You know, it's a prayer. It's a great honor to be a drum maker, because I know these drums are helping some healing of the planet, and I don't know where they're going, but they'll know because they'll connect with whoever the drummer is. It's just like the song seeks us and the drum seeks us. His love seeks us, but we create the barriers, you know. It's like that beautiful thing in the Course in Miracles that says, my job, my task is not to seek love, but to remove the barriers to love. So I think that's... the way I barricaded my heart and to heal that heart again to where love can come in and out. And the drum is certainly one that will lead you there, or it can.
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the different hides that you use, because I know you do buffalo, elk, deer,
well,
and horse.
We use anymore. It used to be a lot easier to get raw hides than it is now. It's getting harder and harder to find, without going out and shooting the animal and skinning it out and making a drum, which is the way I made my first drum. It was from a green hide of an animal, and I fleshed that animal out, and I dehaired it, and I made a drum, from scratch. And, well, mm-hmm. I didn't make the rim, but now I do make my own rim, so I can a lot of Native people will say, you're not a drum maker, you just assemble things. The Natives say that the drum will come to you when you're ready, and it won't be your own drum that you make, because if you make a drum, it's going to be for somebody else. So that's for the giveaway. So you never make your own. It's just like the way spirit works. You never get this direct pipeline with God. It's always a friend or somebody that will come and give you a message.
Mm-hmm.
So the drum connects you with that, with medicine, which is something that heals you. And so drum can be medicine if you use it in a good way, but if you buy it as a possession, it doesn't do very well much. Or if you say, well, this is pretty and I'm going to hang it on the wall, it's either meant to be used. And if you don't
yes.
use the sacred, it kind of has a tendency to turn on you and get angry.
Well, I understand also that the spirit of the animal that the drum is made from also
I can feel the energy when I'm working with deer. Like I was cutting up a deer like yesterday. When I say cutting it up, when we get a shipment of hides in, people often ask us where we get these animal hides, and we get them from hunters, and it's still legal to hunt. And we don't know how these animals were killed, but we make a prayer over the spirit of that animal when we get them into our shop. Because that's what the way I was taught to do is these animals might have had some trauma, so we make a prayer for that animal and we can respect that we can use this to create something that will be for the healing of the people. And so the deer, for example, I feel the heart. It just connects me with my heart because that's the deer is about the circulation, the freely giving and receiving of love. And if we don't have those restrictions, we're healthy. And we're loving, and we can love and be loved, and that feels so wonderful. And that's deer. But in order for the energy to get to the heart, often we have to clear the belly, and the belly is where, as a gestalt therapist, I say a lot of the children are taught, here, believe this, here, believe this, here, believe this. Mm-hmm. And we just swallow those whole. We don't have any teeth to chew that stuff up. And it sits in our belly, and then we start growing up, and we say, well, I want to do this, but I should do this. And all these conflicts inside of us are because of all these things that we've swallowed, and it's right in our belly. So we need to purge the belly, and that's the purging that happens in a lot of the ceremonies, like in the Inipi. You go in there to give all that pain and toxin back to the mother so that you can remember who you are. It's like you're burning away all the stuff that separates you from your true essence.
Mm-hmm.
And we sure pick up a lot of that watching TV and being in places where they're preaching the poverty consciousness thing.
Yes. And for my listeners that don't maybe recognize some of the words you're saying, explain to them that Iwipi is the sweat lodge, right?
Well, the sweat lodge they call it the Inipi or the sweat lodge. The Swedes do it in the form of the sauna. It's an old, ancient, say all our ancestors prayed in the same ways. That's what Martin used to say, the old man that blessed my store. Grandfather Martin used to say, all of our ancestors prayed these ways. It says we're all We're all one. So that's the whole message. Is it doesn't make a difference what color your skin is. We're all one. We live in this planet with one heart. And so the that blessing. What was it you asked me? I forgot.
About the sweat lodge.
Oh, the sweat
the
lodge.
Word
well,
it would
that's
be
where,
nippy.
Like I sweat with a bunch of vets, a bunch of Vietnam vets. And they were angry and wounded men. They were warriors. And they went into that lodge, and I went in there for, we used to call ourselves a sweat hog. We'd sweat every Friday night, rain or shine.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a tribe, a man from Montana, and he was doing that work for the wounded warriors. And I learned in there a lot of things that weren't learned in books. I learned what healing was and how deep these ceremonies go, and they touch our soul. And so I did that for a couple of years before I started to wake up a little bit. But my prayer doesn't start until I can't go any further. Then your real prayer starts when you can't go any further. That's when the tough get going, so to speak, or that you call on those powers greater than yourself to get you through it.
Yes, well, yeah, the sweat lodge definitely has a profound effect on people.
And I say,
and
people use it. You know, Native people get angry at people that what they say exploit their ceremonies or. Or come in and sell them, or, you know, say spirituality is not for sale. If you find someone trying to make money on spirituality, it's free, you know, it's free. It's
mm-hmm.
just like we should educate the children. It's their, you know, that makes our future assured if we have intelligent children. And it's not like just for the ones that can afford it, but for the elite. And that sharing of information, and so they shared with me their ceremony, and I'm sharing them with you because they were shared with me.
Mm-hmm.
But any of those ceremonies you do, it can be through the Red Road, which is the sweat lodge, or through a church, through going to Mass, or whatever you're doing, whatever your
mm-hmm.
spiritual path is.
Yes, but it does need to be done with an open heart, and to invite the Great Spirit, by whatever name you call the Spirit, to invite it in, and your heart has to be open to receive. And all these things that open the heart are wonderful.
I agree. I agree. Because the heart space is what I call my place out in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where people feel safe, and when you feel safe, you heal. And that's just where it is. And the tears will usually come up and all the pain. And then you can start to let that stuff go. But as long as we're feeling guarded and afraid, we're not going to heal. See?
Mm-hmm.
So that heart space is creating the space to where you can heal. And if you get into there ain't no time. This illusion of time, which is what they say is the white man's medicine is time. They have a word called Indian time, which means I show up when I show up, but I'm there for the duration once I do show up. So,
yes, I understand. I tell people I move when spirit moves me to move.
Exactly. I'm not such a big stickler about those damn appointments that block my ease and grace. I don't like those things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all that business of making us control freaks, you know. So we have to control the time. We have to control how we're using it, and get everything in order and organized, and you know.
Well, that's the nature. To the more afraid you feel, the more you try to hold it together, and then. But the true essence is the surrender. That's the only way that spirit can come in. So they say the spirits come in on the vibrations of that drum.
Mm-hmm.
And the drum is like, if in sound healing, people resonate. That's why the didgeridoo and some of those real deep drums, they don't come in my store asking for a high-pingy drum, see. They want to hear the deepest drum in this store. They want something that can ground them. See, that's we seek that at low depth. Unless and yet, if we listen to our own voice, how we sound when we're all stressed out, we'll get up into this vibration.
Yes, that's so true.
And it's like all from up in the head and up in the nasal passages. And if you listen to a lot of the traditional songs, you'll hear that's the way they sing. But when you relax, your voice goes down. See, it drops down an octave or two. And so sound healing is very powerful. And we have to clean out like all these energy centers in our body so spirit can flow through there. And with ease and grace. And so I told people when I used to go in the sweat lodge, I said, I don't pray for strength in there because if I pray for strength, I get tested a lot. Says I pray for ease and grace.
Yes, absolutely.
Spirit's path of least resistance is just like the water flows by itself. Don't push it.
Yes, that's why I tell people the same thing, because I hear people say, oh God, give me the strength to do this, and I say, do you understand, strength isn't given to you, you have to earn it. Yeah, you have to earn it. So what you will be given is experiences that make you strong. Do you really want to do that, you know? And so we need to pray for just love and peace and joy.
Well, in recovery, they picked up this term, your life's none of your business, just suit up and show up. Oh. And so the more I can get out of the way, spirit can lead me, but if my ego, I'll say, whoa, I want this. No, I want this. No, I want this. And it's just the mad chatter of the ego and I think when you get out of the way, you're in that spirit-led life. It's not that you're allowing it to happen. It's just you're out of the way. The falseness, the false face is out of the way. And you can be your real, authentic self, which is your true self.
It's like people, I've asked people, well, who are you? What do you do? And they'll say, oh, I'm a doctor, or I'm a taxi driver or whatever. When you ask what they are or what they do, they tell you their job, you know.
Well, that's why I have this. I did a lot of work back in the 80s of the men's Robert Bly and all the what they said, the men's movement back then, or the healing of men, how men have to learn how to break this competition thing of always competing that learn how to be with men in ways other than competitively, you know, like a brotherly love is another way to say it. And so once you learn to have friends and not take hostages, like a lot of people want to cut one from the herd and have the one forever. And I don't think that's a natural thing. I think more of this Celtic way with the hand fasting, it says you make a vow for a year and a day to be together, and if it's still working after that year and a day, you renew your vows. You don't take anything for granted about I'm stuck because I'm in a contract. Because there's no freedom in that. And true freedom is you got to get up and love the people you love every day.
Yes, and if they love you, they'll stay.
You got it, because if you chase love, it seems to never come your way. But if you just open and surrender and do something else, it'll come your way if you're not seeking it.
Yeah, you have
and
to
that's
be
kinda
love.
Like money. It's kind of like money. The more you try to make money, the harder it gets. Or when you need the money the most, nobody's around to give it to you. But when you got a lot of money, everybody wants to give it to you.
Yes, it seems like whatever we put an intention on for out of greed, because it is greed. We want the bigger house or the fancier car or more money or whatever.
Well,
all those
more
things that
better.
We approach out of greed, though, can turn on us and they, you know, flirt with us and allude, you know, don't ever seem to manifest the way we wanted them to or thought we could make them do. But when you relax and just, I do use the word allow life to happen, allow the spirit to flow through you and the rhythm of the great spirit to work in your life, because that rhythm is different from our profit-driven rhythms in our culture. The rhythm of the spirit is like the rhythm of the seasons and the moon and all these things. And when that rhythm flows through us and we allow ourselves to live with that rhythm, life is sweet and things fall into place the way they should.
Well, back where I grew up, which is West Virginia, it was a matriarchal society back there. The Mingo, Seneca, all those, the Iroquois, they were all grandmothers that chose the chiefs. Mm-hmm. And the first way you were eliminated if you wanted to be chief was by wanting to be chief, and that automatically disqualified you. So mm-hmm. the grandmothers are the women is were the ones that the names were passed from the mother. They were not through the father, but through the mother. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a call for the crones, the older women, to stand up and take a stand. And I'm so happy that a lot of things are happening, that like these 13 grandmothers that are doing this incredible work. That's what we need. We need to, the Shea woman looks at the future generations and says, what are you doing to our children, to our future?
Mm-hmm.
And if you come in and clear cut things and send them other places, you're robbing our heritage. And we say no, and we stand up and say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know who has the power in this country, it's not the men, it's the women.
And that is beginning to be understood by women in our society. It's been a slow awakening, but it is beginning to be understood that we have the right to stand up and speak and say, this isn't right. We shouldn't be doing this, and we need to be doing that, and, you know, to be heard.
Well, I don't even know that it's preaching like what we need to do. It's just to say no to exploitation. And I'll tell you a little story about, we have a powwow up here in Portland, and one of the grandmothers, the city council decided they were going to not let them have the powwow at that park here in the city. And this Cheyenne grandmother walked into the city council meeting and says, who in the hell do you think you are to tell me that my children can't have their powwow? Hmm. And she got right up in their face, and they started shaking, and they said, oh, well, we'll give it back to you. And they gave them that ground for that night, hmm. For their powwow. But it took her being the warrior to go in there and says, no, you can't take this away from us. Who are you to do that? And that's taking a stand for what we believe in. It's not bluffing or preaching at people or nagging at people. It's just being real.
Yes.
And that's what, and I just love these old eccentric grandmothers that don't care what you think about them, see. Whatever you think about them is none of their business. I think that's what the fire that we need to balance this planet back to where we're back in the heart space, we're in balance. Because technology is great, but boy, I'll tell you, it's getting pretty out of balance now. And these kids are, I've got a 9-year-old, and I'm taking her over to my place this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So get her out in the woods and get her connected back with nature, because that's, I think, where she'll find her power.
Yes. That's something I wanted to talk to you about as well, because we seem to have such a disconnect with Mother Nature in our culture. So many people have come so far away from nature that they've lost any feeling for it, and they disrespect it and abuse it, and it's destroying the earth. And I was wondering how you see drumming circles and drumming being able to somehow help with healing this rift that has happened?
Well, what I do in my circles, I don't know, I make a prayer when people come in, and I smudge them off with sage, and then I pass around the talking stick, and I says, speak from your heart, says, and listen with your heart's ear. Says, if we hear with our head, we'll divide, we'll get into opinions and what your spirit, what your religion is, what your politics are, and those divide people. But if you speak from your heart, you'll connect in your heart. And I have to, of course, lead that. I don't have to, but if you want to create something, it'd be the change you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it means, taking risks myself and risking to be who I really am and getting rid of all that falseness and telling them the truth about where I am right then. And it just creates when that talking stick goes around, it's different every time because you never have the same circle twice.
Mm-hmm.
But to the extent that people can risk sharing, the magic will happen. And I tell them all, it says, if you're afraid of chaos, you'll never find beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So in a drum circle, you'll have, we all have a heart. If you can hear your own heartbeat, if you can just put your hand on your throat or on your where you can feel your heart, and you feel that first drum, and you let that drum beat, that heartbeat come out on that drum, and just go within and find out what rhythm is in you that you want to express, and don't pay attention to what anybody else is doing. So oftentimes when we're searching for what is our rhythm, we'll seem out of sync with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we get to the magic. So if we just stay true to ourselves, then the most magical things happen in drum circles. And the more people risk, the more magical they become. And I say just give yourself permission to play or be here any way you want to be. You don't have to do anything. And not about being good. Or about, I said, if you can only hear your own drum, you might be drumming a little loud. And we just create that space and say, let's see what we can invent, like a bunch of kids,
Oh, that's wonderful play. Patrick, we're almost out of time, and I want people to know how to reach you. You have a wonderful website. It's cedarmountaindrums.com. That's C-E-D-A-R. Mountain yep. Drums, yeah.
Yeah,
and .com, and you're in Portland, Oregon, and you also have wonderful products besides the drums. You have flutes and smudge sticks and rattles and all sorts of wonderful things, talking sticks, smudge, what do you call them, feathers? Tell us what all you have so that people know and they can go on there and they can order these things on your website, right?
Yeah, and they can actually take a tour of my store because I walked around the store with a video camera and gave a guided tour through it. We've got, I dreamed the store before I created it, and my first mm-hmm. name that came to me was Come to Your Senses. I love that name. So when you walk in there, you smell, you feel, you sense. Something's different here, and so there's little
okay.
things everywhere to stimulate you. We've got okay. medicine, we've got music, we've got books.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Patrick. We are out of time, so
okay.
I have to thank you. You were wonderful. Thank you. I'd love to have you on again, and for all
Alrighty.
My listeners. Okay, and for all my listeners, join me next week for another exciting show. Until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.